Liberty Nation with Mark Angelides.
The language was spicy. The ramifications are near infinite. Just what did the latest landmark case out of the Supreme Court do for American jurisprudence and the Trump administration? Find out on Liberty Nation Radio.
Author, columnist, managing editor of LibertyNation.com, podcast host and conservative policy advocate.
We dismiss history at our peril.
Liberty Nation with Mark Angelides.
This is The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins, filling in. Thrilled to be with you. A bunch of stuff to talk about out there in the world. Dana Lash is found all over the place. D-Lash, Dana Lash Radio on X, on Twitter. Some of the best ways to stay connected to her and everything going on with this show. Producer Steven does a great job of putting a whole bunch of stuff on social media, so find her wherever. All right, let's talk about a bunch of things. I am very much intent to talk about Alligator Alcatraz at some point in the show, mostly because of the way that liberals are crazy about it. I think Joy Reid has probably the take of all takes, not just about Alligator Alcatraz itself, but also I think the way in which people that are not legally in this country are being removed from this country, and what she wants you to believe it is, not what it actually is. Before I get to any of that, I do think this is interesting. It went viral a little bit earlier today. Bill Malugin of Fox News said that a producer at Fox asked L.A. Mayor Karen Bass earlier this morning if she would be willing to meet with ICE and if there were a deal to be made within that, you know, city and that organization, that government operation. Bass showed her stupidity in her answer. The first thing she said is that ICE was not welcome and they needed to go home, but she would have no interest in meeting them. Here's the problem. The ICE agents that she would meet with would live in California. They would live specifically very close to LA or in LA because they live in the places they work. This is not the kind of thing where ICE agents would be shipped in from somewhere else. They would have people. It's a federal organization that live all throughout the nation that work there and live there. So when they would go home, they would go to the place that she's in. But even more so than that, the crazy part about saying, I'm not going to meet with them or you're not welcome here or whatever else it might be, is essentially I'm also going to skirt any sort of law federally that I'd have to follow. This is something that caused Stephen Miller specifically to respond and say this kind of sounds like insurrection talk. And it does. I think that he's right about that. I think that the version of, you know, having that kind of conversation, and for some reason, Democrats right now, the left, the crazy guy out of New York, as I keep referring to Mamdani, because to me, he's just actually insane. And I can't believe that even a place as far left as New York would potentially actually choose this person to be their mayor. But that seems to be the road they're going down. But even he said recently, like, that he would fight Trump and ICE if he were given the opportunity to do it. And Trump then made a comment that, well, if he's throwing ICE agents in jail, we're probably going to throw him in jail, which was fantastic. And that happened yesterday, too. But this is the MO for Democrats right now, to say out loud into a microphone the craziest, most nonsense thing you can. And then when the ICE agents actually show up, swing the door wide open because you know it would be a crime not to. And that's usually how you actually handle the real world. And this honestly is the way that the left does a bunch of things. You see this all the time. The words never match the actions. The words are always much stronger than the actions themselves, which is why so few people need to pay attention to the words. Case in point might be this. Joy Reid recently said about Stephen Miller and about the Alligator Alcatraz facility and all the things going on with people who are not legally in this country that are finally having the law used against them to remove them from this country. She claims that is a quota. A quota of 3,000 brown people a day needing to get arrested, regardless of if you have legal or illegal status. She's trying to make this a race thing and not a they're not allowed to be here legally thing, which is what's actually happening. By the way, people that look like me, I'm a white guy, are also getting arrested if they're here illegally, if they're from China or anywhere else, and they don't have brown skin, they have white skin. They're also being deported and sent other places. That is happening. Joy Reid refuses to believe that. Here we go.
But this aggressive move to deport any brown or black person that this regime can get their hands on in order to meet Stephen Miller's 3,000 brown person a day quota. They have a literal
insane
quota that ICE is required to meet. which is the reason why they are stopping and frisking brown, particularly brown people, but brown and black people anywhere they can get them. Dodger Stadium, the parking lot at Disneyland, at restaurants, Home Depot.
Be afraid is what she wants to yell into the microphone, and understand that Republicans and ICE agents are just racist. That's just all they are. It doesn't matter that the law they're trying to enforce is a real one and people who aren't here illegally aren't allowed to stay. That's not important. I want you to believe that people are walking around yelling to themselves, I don't want people that aren't white to stay in this country, which is insane and not at all what's happening. But that's the only way they win these arguments. The only way the left can convince their own gullible people or whatever you want to call them that they're fighting the good fight and the other side is the bad guy is to change the narrative, is to move it from we want people that don't have the right to be here to not be allowed to stay anymore. And honestly, I love when people get mad at this, what I'm about to say, because it is true. And if you knew anyone or know anyone that's ever been in a situation where they don't have the rights necessary to fight back if, say, something bad is happening to them, then you know how important this next statement is. People should want to be here legally. They shouldn't want to be here in an illegal sense. And the best way to fix this whole system is to remove everyone that's here illegally, that is being taken advantage of to a degree, if they're working a job for under minimum wage and all that kind of stuff. And then if we can't actually fill those positions with legal citizens who already live here, there's already a system in place that would allow a company to get a visa for someone to move into this country, even in the world of agriculture, and start doing that job. If the narrative that Democrats told you was true and Americans wouldn't work jobs if they were given, you know, actual working conditions to do them in and not, again, taking advantage of people who don't have the right to be here, if that all occurred, it would get better for all involved. And then people would, again, have a pathway to citizenship that they would come through legal channels from the start and not actually be here in a way that is illegal. That all of that's factual. None of that is politically on a certain side of the aisle or the other. To be honest, some of it's certainly not popular on the right to talk about. And yet I just said it all because that's the thing that the left doesn't want you to believe in the position of a conservative, is that if you fix the system so that no one was here illegally anymore, and as Democrats love to claim, no one would pick our food anymore, whatever crazy thing they say, then we would adjust. We would self-adjust at that point, not to swing the gate back open and let people in illegally, but allow for people to come in legally and work jobs and have rights, because those jobs should have that level of ability or that level of, you know, protection between them. All right. Another thing I thought was interesting, as I mentioned, alligator Alcatraz all over social media and being talked about a lot. President Trump went to Florida. He was with Governor DeSantis talking about this facility in Florida that sounds like a really crappy jail. However, I want to remind people, it's also a jail. Jails are not supposed to be fun. Anyone that says it would be horrible to have a jail this you know, scary or in this bad of a place or this difficult to escape from seems to not understand the point of prison, which is, again, to be a place that you don't want to go and you behave so that you're not sent there. Here is President Trump and Governor DeSantis talking about Alcatraz and also talking about the important initiative of allowing Florida National Guardsmen to act as immigration judges to speed up the deportation process, something DeSantis wants that Trump's okay with. And it sounds like Pam Bondi is going to be very on board with, as DeSantis would know, having worked with her closely in Florida. Here's a little bit of that audio.
This is, we're offering up our National Guard and other folks in Florida to be deputized to be immigration judges. We're working with the Department of Justice for the approvals. I'm sure Pam will approve. But then I'll have a National Guard judge advocate here. Someone has a notice to appear. Biden would tell them to come back in 3 years and appear. Now you'll be able to appear in like a day or two. So they're not going to be detained, hopefully, for all that long. We'll have people here in this facility that can make, you know, it's a bureaucracy. The president's got to deal with the bureaucracy. Now, that Supreme Court ruling was good because that's going to allow him to be able to exercise Article 2 the way founders intended, but you still have bureaucracy. So we want to cut through that so that we have an efficient operation between Florida and DHS to get the removal of these illegals done.
Yeah, I love that Trump is just nodding his head yes the whole time that DeSantis is saying this, because this would be good. You want to process things more quickly. You want to come up with a system that actually works well, which is something that DeSantis is uniquely good at in government. The behind-the-scenes operations of government is where DeSantis truly shines, and this is another example of that. And Trump is like, yeah, go ahead, do it. Get all these things done. Get them done quickly. The government can operate efficiently. How dare you? Who would possibly believe or say that? One last thing, and this was amusing to me. Maria Shriver, of all people, who claims to be an open-minded journalist, I'm not sure that that actually plays itself out in reality based on the things she said, is, quote, very upset, heartbroken, in fact, because Paramount is going to pay President Trump $16 million, or at least they're going to pay his library $16 million because of the way they deceptively edited the Kamala Harris interview during the campaign season. This is the second organization to make a deal with Trump and his legal team in order to not go through some sort of discovery process. That's all this is. All of these companies desperately do not want to have what happened to Fox News and the Dominion lawsuit to happen to them, meaning that you get to look at all the emails, look at all the phone calls, anything that you could have records on, and see the way in which people were communicating with each other, specifically the way these news organizations communicate with Democratic politicians, which is something I desperately want. I wish that these lawsuits weren't getting settled. I wish that there was no number that could be thrown at President Trump and his team that would allow them to say, all right, fine, we'll settle out of court for this. I wish they could just keep blazing the trail toward being in a courtroom, because I want discovery, baby. I want to hear, I want to see the way in which these producers, these hosts, everyone at places like CBS, et cetera, talk to people like Kamala Harris, and how different it is than the way they potentially talk to President Trump or anyone on the conservative side of the aisle, because that's the real story to me. Not necessarily that they're not going to say they're sorry, they're not going to issue an apology, but they're going to send a whole bunch of money a direction that certainly makes them seem guilty of something. But that is a real story out there. And as I said, Maria Shriver, of all people, went viral for saying that she was heartbroken, that mainstream media is being penalized for the way in which they're behaving, or something to that effect. Again, incredibly open-minded, at least by her own description. All right, we'll take a break. A lot coming up. This is Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
Our partners that will bring you the program, it's the folks over at Bernegun. It's always good to have options. I mean, you have different calibers. You carry blades, you carry carbines, you carry pistols. This is a great option for you if you are in one of these, you know, areas where you got municipal restrictions, if you have, you know, private property restrictions, gun-free zone signs, whatever it is, or maybe you're a college student and you're going to be living on your own and you can't carry a pistol for self-defense, but you need something. This is where the Bernegun comes in. Look, I'm always going to tell you to carry, and I'm always going to tell you to use lethal force. The other thing, use lethal force if your life is being threatened. You should feel free to be able to protect yourself. I have no problem doing it. But one of the things I'm also going to tell you is to make sure you're diversifying your weapons array. And the Bernegun has, I mean, they have several different models. I mean, they have rifles and all that. I think for this specific purpose, you need to check out the SD and the CL, which is brand new. The CL is 38% smaller than the SD. CL stands for compact launcher. And if you're unfamiliar with the Bernegun, it shoots chemical irritant projectiles that can disable threats from up to 50 feet away. There's no recoil. It's legal in all 50 states. No background checks, no waiting periods. Can be sent right to your door, and it's super affordable as well. And it doesn't care about the gun-free zone signs. So if this is something that, you know, speaks to you, and I would highly encourage you, again, to diversify what you have in terms of weapons, check out the Bernegun, the SD and the CL. You can find them both at Byrna.com/Dana, BYRNA.com/Dana. Byrna, ready when you are.
If you like true crime, you'll love the Miracle Files podcast. We share real stories with the suspense of true crime, but we'll leave you with a sense of light and hope. Like the college wrestler who fought a grizzly, the woman who was dead for nearly an hour, or the child lost in a dark mine for days. These are the kind of stories that remind us miracles are real.
Subscribe to The Miracle Files wherever you get your podcasts and join us on this thrilling journey of faith and miracles.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
That's right. This is The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins filling in. It is time for a rapid fire quick five, as Dana does every single day on this program. Really a lot of fun. The P. Diddy case has reached a verdict. I feel like I could have done this for longer than a quick five, but darn it, I'll do it here. The crazy thing, they found him guilty of the prostitution charges, which carry a sentence of up to 20 years in jail, but they acquitted him of all of the more serious racketeering, you know, RICO case type of charges. So P. Diddy got decent news, as weird as it is to say that, in a courtroom earlier today by only being found guilty of prostitution and not the more serious sex trafficking and additional crimes that he was facing. He could have had life in prison as the likely sentence. The judge dismissed everyone, deciding what bail would be, mostly because Diddy can afford a whole lot of money. So are you going to give him a bail at all or not? And then eventually we'll decide when sentencing will occur. But P. Diddy would be facing a maximum of 20 years in prison, not life in jail, which is what he was facing essentially if he was found guilty of more things. Other quick five stories out there. U.S. auto sales have slowed in June. I uniquely am familiar with this because I recently bought a car, and it is terrible buying a car. Used cars are insanely expensive. But at least things might start going the right way. It'd be nice if Jerome Powell listened to anything that President Trump was saying and lowered some sweet, sweet interest rates, so more cars would actually be sold and more houses would be purchased, et cetera, which is not happening because interest rates are way too high and the economy is doing great. By the way, another quick five topic, which is pretty awesome. Gas prices are at a tremendous low right now. The lowest they've been since, I think, early 2021. Man, what's going on? What could possibly have been an impact between President Trump and the things that he's done in office and the things that Biden was doing in office that went after oil and gas companies and energy and caused everything to be so expensive? It's almost like we all know the answer, and I don't even need to say it. But this is absolutely true that gas prices are down at a perfect time of year, just before a lot of people travel for the holiday. Yay us is what we're supposed to say to that. By the way, another quick five story that I like is the things that are necessary for a perfect 4th of July party. There are four of them, according to the internet. Classic barbecue food. You got to have the hot dogs and hamburgers, maybe some barbecue chicken. You don't need to go too rogue. You don't need to go off of the path of what is working in the world of barbecue and 4th of July. You need great music. You need some outdoor games, bags or cornhole, whatever you call it. There's a version of that game that's usually necessary in a bunch of backyards now. And then finally, you need fireworks. People are saying as long as it's legal wherever you live, if you're firing off some personal fireworks, you are doing the 4th of July correctly. If you're hosting a party and not shooting off fireworks yourself, you're not making it to the upper echelon of parties in our community. I'm not sure I agree with that, but I do love the fact that it's out there. I would say you also need to do that responsibly. People need to keep all their fingers. Unfortunately, this time of year, a whole lot of people do not, because you're letting, you know, Uncle Bill do the fireworks when Uncle Bill should be nowhere near them and should not be blowing anything up, in fact. And by the way, one other quick story, which we might get to later. There was a firework factory in California that lit on fire and blew up. And there's a video about it. It's viral. The craziest part of the video is how sadly entertaining it is to see fireworks exploding at the beginning and after the facility is destroyed. That's the kind of thing we need more of in this society when we demo anything. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
The only Christian conservative cell phone service that is out there that's in existence, and they want to save you money. Yes, they have great service. Yes, you can work with a member of their 100% U.S.-based customer service team. And you can also get a free month of service using promo code DANA. It's time to make the switch. You can defend freedom with every call and text that you make. It's so easy to do. This is a carrier that fights for your values. This is a carrier that also has plans for every single budget type. It doesn't matter. Families of all sizes, businesses, singles, whatever it is, they have something for you. And they also, again, don't spend your money against you at the ballot box. Super easy to switch. If my mother can do it, it takes minutes to do it. You can as well. You just simply visit patriotmobile.com/Dana, or you can call 972-PATRIOT and get a whole free month of service using promo code DANA. Super easy to switch. Defend freedom with every call and text that you make. Very easy. patriotmobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT, promo code DANA for that free month of service.
Not able to catch all 3 hours of The Dana Show? Subscribe to the full podcast and get news and laughs delivered in short, easy-to-digest episodes. Ideal for your busy lifestyle on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
This is The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins, filling in. Thrilled to be with you. D-Lash, Dana Lash Radio on X, on Twitter, to stay connected to all things going on for her. Very active social media human and very active radio, you know, very famous person, Dana Lash. Thrilled to be on her show, actually, in all honesty. The one big, beautiful bill was something I didn't talk about yet today, but you can't not talk about it. The House now gets their opportunity to pass the version of the bill that the Senate, you know, created. They carved out some things that don't make a lot of people happy. Representatives like Chip Roy, who's on the show a lot, have said that it's definitely not the kind of bill that he would have wanted to support. And it's the kind of bill that's doing a lot of spending we shouldn't be doing. And I really admire a Chip Roy, in all honesty. And I love talking to that guy whenever I fill in on the show and get a chance to talk to him, because he's right. He's obviously right that there's a whole bunch of excess spending that we don't want in this bill. There's a lot of tax cuts, not just for everyday Americans, but for organizations, for a whole bunch of, you know, groups and people. And honestly, hopefully that actually creates the thing that President Trump and his administration is saying it will, which is a deep investment in the business of the United States by U.S. businesses. Creating more jobs here, creating more products here, essentially becoming something that we haven't been in a very long time because of how financially beneficial it would be. But as far as the deficit is concerned, it certainly throws that price tag about as high up as possible. So there's a lot of reason to not be thrilled about the inevitable passing of this bill, which I think it will pass. The big, beautiful bill will pass the House. It will become a thing that gets signed into law, mostly because Republicans have control of the House, the Senate, and the White House. And if they don't get anything done in that time period, that's a tremendous failure in the world of politics, how we live them today. And so even if you are, and I am, skeptical or upset with some of the excess spending that exists here, the better than nothing version of talking about something feels to be the way that a bunch of Republicans will eventually swallow their dissenting voice and vote yes on this thing. Stephen Miller is out there complaining about Elon Musk, though. This is uniquely interesting, the way this conversation and this relationship has absolutely fallen apart. And in the backdrop of this, I will say that today there was a news story about how Tesla is selling better in China, and Chinese social media platforms are praising Elon Musk and his anti-Trump rants recently, or the things he's been saying about the big, beautiful bill and whatnot, because China doesn't like Trump. And the reason they don't like Trump is we actually treat China the way they deserve to be treated, and we don't give in to them in all kinds of ways that make things horrible for us and great for them, which is what Biden and other politicians do. So China's embracing of Elon Musk, and Elon Musk may be realizing that's going to help him sell vehicles there when sales here in the United States are down, may be the whole reason that there's all this crazy drama and fighting. But Stephen Miller pulled no punches. Saying that Elon Musk, by not backing the big, beautiful bill, is essentially all for the invasion of illegal aliens into the United States of America.
To oppose this bill is to support the invasion. To oppose this bill is to support the continued giveaways and freebies to cheaters and scam artists. To oppose this bill is to support a 68% tax hike on the American public. And it's also to oppose this bill is to support a deprivation of all of the tax benefits that President Trump is fighting to deliver the middle class, like no tax on tips, no tax on Social Security, no tax on overtime. The Senate passed this bill just today, demonstrating that they are fighting for President Trump. They are fighting for his agenda. They are not going to listen to an outside voice that does not represent the interests of the American people or the interests of the Republican Party. And the House is going to rally behind President Trump to pass this bill for America.
We will see if that happens. We will see if he's right about that. I will say that Elon Musk voice is for himself. It's not necessarily for the American people. He is, I think, most upset that this bill doesn't include provisions that allow him to keep getting sweet, sweet sales of electric vehicles because they give us heavy tax incentives to buy those vehicles. I think that's what Elon is actually most mad about in the big, beautiful bill. Not all the excess spending. If he had the continued tax cuts for people buying green vehicles in there, he probably would be someone who was shutting up right now. But nonetheless, when Stephen Miller also references the deep amounts of fraud that exist in other parts of government spending, he's talking specifically about Medicaid and Medicare. And the way that mainstream media will tell you this story works, and I want to be clear about this, I'm sure you've heard this before at this point. I doubt this is new information, but that multi-billion dollar fraud scheme that just the other day was publicly acknowledged by the DOJ, $14.6 billion in healthcare fraud going through Medicaid and Medicare, a whole lot of doctors, organizations within the United States, but it gets seedier than that. There's like Russian operatives, Chinese operatives all involved in this crazy giant thing. Putting into that system more checks and balances, more hurdles to jump, like proving that you're not a able-bodied American who's not, you know, trying to get a job. If you're someone who's capable of working and refusing to work, you don't get any freebies. But if you're someone who's capable of working and trying to work, then you could essentially still qualify for Medicaid and Medicare. That's not actually a cut. It's an assumed cut because we're thinking a whole lot of people are benefiting, and $14.6 billion in fraud cases this year seem to represent exactly how many people are gaming this system, or a decent chunk of what is probably a much larger amount of fraud and abuse. Nonetheless, if everybody that is getting this help qualifies in the new world they're creating, then we wouldn't spend any less money on it. It's the assumption that we're going to get a tax break, or we're going to get a spending break of some kind, because a whole lot of people are using this incorrectly, using it in a horrible way, that we expect that to be true. And again, that's right at the surface of these conversations because of the DOJ investigation that uncovered this stuff. I love when people in mainstream media places pretend the truth isn't true. And I don't know how to say that differently, because that's exactly what it is. They go on television, the Joy Reads, the idiots of the world who say whatever they want to say. They scream and yell stuff that makes absolutely no sense. And then at the end of it, they close the microphone and say, "Hey, good job, me." And they realize that anyone could fact check them very simplistically and find out everything they're saying is crazy and insane. And they don't care. They're like, whatever. It'll be fine. I'll go ahead and do this over here. That's how they're behaving about a lot of this. AOC, by the way, talks specifically about the no tax on tips part of this deal with the devil, since she's very upset about the big, beautiful bill. But Democrats can't be anti the failing to tax overtime and the failing to tax tipping, because these benefit a whole lot of Americans that Democrats assume would vote for them. So AOC ranting on the House floor today about how this is unacceptable, even if it is, again, something that would help a whole lot of Americans and is wildly popular with the American people.
On this point of tax on tips, as one of the only people in this body who has lived off of tips, I want to tell you a little bit about the scam of that text, a little bit of the fine print there. The cap on that is $25,000. While you're jacking up taxes on people who make less than $50,000 across the United States, while taking away their SNAP, while taking away their Medicaid, while kicking them off of the ACA and their health care extensions. So if you're at home and you're living off tips, you do the math.
Here's the thing. None of what she said was true. I love that version of this. You could still qualify for all those things that she said they're taking away from you, as long as you can jump through the new hurdles, the very reasonable, very easy hurdles, I think, that, you know, Americans who fall into these categories would be capable of jumping through. And a lot of the restrictions don't even involve people who have kids. By the way, you actually have to be a single adult for many of the restrictions in Medicaid and Medicare to wind up being relevant anyway. Otherwise, the system's really not changing at all. If you're the parent of a younger child, you're not going to have to deal with anything changing whatsoever, which AOC failed to mention in her rant over there. But the other thing that's crazy about this, when she says it's capped, how dare you think that you can get anything other than this amount of money off of tips and other things. You are getting paid a salary if you work somewhere. It's not just tips. That's not the only way that you make money, because darn it, there are laws that make you have to get paid something beyond the tip money. And I love the fact that she's behaving as though when the liars keep lying, that they're really just fighting for you. And they're really just fighting for the things that matter most to you. And I love also the fact that she said she's one of the only people in that room that has lived off tips, because I'm not sure that I would call it tips, but a whole lot of people have Wall Street tips that they live off of to make the billions and millions of dollars that they seem to make in the government. People like Nancy Pelosi would definitely be living off of a different version of tips in my mind. And AOC likes to lie about stuff in her own personal experience. She grows up in fancy parts of upstate New York and claims that she's a girl from the Bronx who's just struggled her whole life to make a living, which is inherently untrue. But again, just to go back to it, AOC is absolutely telling you a fib, a lot of them actually, when she's saying that all these things are getting taken away and taxes are going up for you and everything's going to be terrible if you're, you know, working middle class or working not exactly even qualifying in the middle class as far as your income is concerned. These things are, in fact, lies, and they matter. But darn it, that's the only way to win for Democrats in these sort of back and forth debates, is to tell you things that they think you'll care about, regardless of how likely those things are to be things you even believe, which is nuts. And honestly, I'll say one last thing about this before I take a break. This is what makes arguing with a family member or friend about politics infuriating. When you hear the talking point that the politician shared in the very disingenuous way on whatever platform they were on that your friend or relative consumed it on, and then they say it back to you, and you look at them and you say, you know, that's not true. And you even prove to them it's not true. In today's society, a whole bunch of people become skeptical of you, the person they know, the person that's not trying to lie to them the way the politician would. And they assume the politician, who obviously lies to them all the time, is more likely to have told them the truth. That drives me crazy. I have friends and family members who are hardcore on a side of the aisle I'm not on, that when I tell them just a simple fact, I'm like, look, I don't even want to argue all this. I don't want to dive down this rabbit hole with you. I just want you to make sure that you look this part up and find out how it's not true. And their reaction is like, ah, whatever. You're just lying to me. I'm not even going to try. And that's insane. But there are people in our society who exist that just hear the talking point and accept it as accurate and just live their life with that being their new normal. And it sucks. I don't know how else to say it, but it's definitely awful. All right. We have a holiday, so we're going to have fun on the show as much as we can. A holiday coming up. While also doing the important things that you need. This is Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
And the folks who will bring you the program, it's the folks over at Relief Factor. If you are dealing with aches and pains every day, you're not alone. A lot of people, though, have found the help that they need with Relief Factor, which is a daily drug-free supplement designed to help manage aches and pains naturally. My husband, who has some old like hockey injuries and football injuries and had knee surgery, and that he always has issues with his knees and inflammation, and he takes Relief Factor and it's super helpful. He's dealing with a lot of the all of those problems without having that having to be like on prescription medication, things like that. And Relief Factor combines powerful ingredients like turmeric, omega-3 fatty acids, resveratrol, all kinds of stuff to target inflammation and support joint health. It's 100% drug free, and it's developed to support your body's natural healing process. So you don't have to stay stuck living with pain, is the whole point. You can try Relief Factor's 3-week quick start for just $19.95, less than a dollar a day, and you can support a veteran-owned company and see the difference for yourself. That's relieffactor.com, 1-800-4-RELIEF, 1-800, the number 4-RELIEF.
The Supreme Court sides with parents and common sense about whether they can protect their kids from indoctrination at school. A House Democrat wants to radically overhaul Congress and the courts, quite a temper tantrum for losing last year. And the numbers don't lie about how much better Florida is than New York over the past 25 years. I'm Greg Corumbus, inviting you to join Jim Garrity of National Review and me each weekday for the Three Martini Lunch podcast. We'll give you the good, bad, and crazy news of the day, and hopefully a lot of laughs too. Follow the Three Martini Lunch on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
On the go and need a quick news fix with a fun twist? Follow Dana's Absurd Truth Podcast for bite-sized, informative episodes perfect for your busy schedule on Apple or wherever you get your podcast.
This is The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins filling in. Thrilled to be with you. D Lash, Dana Lash Radio on X on Twitter to stay connected to all things going on for her. She will be back just after the holiday. Thrilled to be in with you for a couple days here on this show. Should we ban left turns? That was a real question, a real comment made by a professor at Penn State that said that a whole lot of accidents happen because of the left turn. And actually, this is true. 40% of all crashes happen in intersections. 60% of those crashes happen because someone was making a left. The proposal would be either some version hybrid like New Jersey, where you have that quote-unquote off-ramp or elbow that you actually turn right onto before then turning left, not within the intersection itself, or just no left turns a whole lot of places. You got to make boxes to the right to get around. Reverse version in NASCAR, as far as things go. This guy thinks it's a great idea. A whole lot of the rest of us think it's a horrible idea because, darn it, I want to get where I'm going and I want to turn left to do that. But I do love that at least this question is out there. More places, especially busy places, should we stop turning left? That is a real thing. And at least one academic says yes. Well, the whole rest of society, for the most part, is saying no. Another story out there that I thought was interesting, and this is just a weird piece of audio. I think Keith Urban, the famous person who's in this audio, is claiming that what people think happened didn't happen, meaning he didn't hang up on a local Australian music station during an awkward back-and-forth question that was asked by one of the hosts. You be the judge on whether or not Keith Urban just full-on hung up when asked a question that feels awkward, but you kind of think a lot of people would be asking it of this individual and the person he's married to and the amount of movies that Nicole Kidman does where she gets fairly intimate with younger men and to a degree that maybe the husband wouldn't exactly enjoy. Here's the viral audio. Again, people are claiming that are close to Keith Urban, he didn't hang up, that somehow something else happened, a disconnection, somebody else's fault, et cetera, et cetera. It sounds a whole lot like to me he just hung up on this call.
The first thing I thought of with your beautiful wife, Nicole Kidman, being on so many great movies, TV shows all the time. I watched a movie with her and Zac Efron recently, Family Affair, and I thought...
that's a good one.
What does Keith Urban think when he sees his beautiful wife with beautiful younger men like Zac Efron having these beautiful love scenes on TV and radio? Oh, why has that happened? It's just happened to you.
He's disconnected from Zoom.
Yeah, he's out.
He just hang up on us?
I think his team hung up on us because they didn't want us to ask that question.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they hung up on you. And if they told you beforehand, hey, don't ask any questions about the people that Nicole Kidman is fake sleeping with in movies and TV shows, and then they asked that question anyway, Keith might have been like, let's just end this thing. There's no good answer from a Keith Urban, by the way, to that type of question. Because if you admit the truth, as a husband, you're not exactly thrilled to see this. You somehow impact her professional acting career in a way you probably don't want to. But if you also lie and you're like, it's fine. It's all just fake. It doesn't matter to me at all. A whole lot of people who know that that's a lie, including maybe even your wife, Nicole Kidman, might feel differently about you. They might judge Keith Urban for his inability to tell the truth in that moment. So again, there's just no good answer. If you're a person who's famous, whose wife is famous, who does a lot of sexually, focused movies, without them being actual, inappropriate in the sense of she's not doing porn. I don't know how to say that differently, so I'm just going to say it for what it is. But she is doing a lot of stuff that's very risque in the world of what it is. A lot of R-rated, crazy kind of things. I would not be thrilled if I was Keith Urban, married to Nicole Kidman, who is an attractive lady. I would not be thrilled that there's so many roles that she takes that all have the same thing. I'd be like, when is Disney coming along? You want to do a movie that's not at all about this? That would be my goal. All right, quick break, a lot more. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
We have more on the way as we roll towards the bottom of this hour. Our partners over at All Family Pharmacy. You want affordable medications and you don't want Big Pharma being the gatekeeper. This is where All Family Pharmacy comes in. They're offering a summer sale, 20% off of your entire order. And this includes your daily medications. It includes things like ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, antibiotics, everything. 20% off site-wide right now. No insurance required. Licensed doctors in all 50 states. And you get fast shipping right to your front door. All good things. Emergency kits as well. Everything in 2 to 4 days. Overnight delivery in a pinch if you need it as well. This is such a great website. I cannot recommend it enough. I am a user of it. I always tell people about it. It's allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana. This is where I go. Get 20% off using promo code Dana20. And don't let Big Pharma gatekeep. That's allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana. Coupon code Dana20 to save 20%.
This is the Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins, filling in. Thrilled to be with you. A bunch of stuff out there to talk about. D-Lash, Dana Lash Radio on X on Twitter, if you want to stay connected to all things that she's up to. And she will be back just after the holidays. Well-deserved vacation for a very successful, very famous human being, Dana Lash. Nancy Mace went viral because, and honestly, a portion of this is believable. A whole lot of it seems performative. I am a fan of Nancy Mace. I also find her attractive. I'm just going to put that stuff out there. So I'm not exactly sad that she's viral for pajama videos that she put up on social media. And I'll explain that in a second. But nonetheless, what I think is really interesting about this is that people were delayed via flights back to D.C. A lot of politicians. This is something that Republicans were uniquely talking about, as they'd like to have everybody back ASAP today, essentially, to vote on the big, beautiful bill to get that thing passed so the president can sign it. Nancy Mace decided to road trip it. She said that she couldn't fly, that flights were down. So she hopped in, I think, a luxury a bus. And then eventually she showed up at the Capitol building. And she has this video of her getting out of another very fancy vehicle from the back of it in her pajamas, and then going into the Capitol building to vote on things. It's very performative. It's very, producer Steven said this, and I thought it was pretty funny, influencer energy type of stuff that she's giving out here. Again, I'm not exactly upset, though, because out of all the politicians that could go viral for being in pajamas, Nancy Mace is toward the top of my list of people that I'd actually prefer that to be. There's a whole lot of people that I would hate it if they were going viral for the same thing. I know that's a guy answer to this, and not necessarily a valuable political take, but I can't help it. It's what's in my mind, and I'm telling you about it. But here's a couple of the pieces of audio that go with the videos of Nancy looking like a person who's showing up to work with no time to get ready, no time to prepare herself. She's got to roll in with the luggage and the pajamas because, darn it, I've got to get things done.
All right, Shannon.
The door is slowly opening.
Made it. What time is it?
There's the Nancy Mace.
8:45? 8:52? We made it an hour ago to the vote.
By the way, to have people standing outside of the van taking video as you pop out and pretend to not know what time it is uniquely hilarious. There's a video of her walking down the hallway trying to get ready to vote with the luggage and the backside of the pajamas going. Here we go.
She's going to go for it. She even knows the door. Yes, she does. Oh, my God.
Nancy Mace's dog was walking with her down the hallway and seemed to know exactly what door was Nancy's office. People were proud of that. Again, this is performative. It's annoying. It's all the things I dislike about politicians. But if I'm going to give anybody the shadow of the doubt, the benefit of the doubt, Lauren Boebert and Nancy Mace can go viral in pajamas. I'm fine with that. All right. Other things out there. I wonder how the take would differ if it were Dana who was on today instead of me. I'm a pig of a human, I guess is what I'm saying. All right. Scott Jennings did some things on social media that I found very funny. He actually also often does some things on CNN that I find very amusing. Scott was in a back and forth argument with someone on CNN about whether or not the crazy dude from New York is what I'm going to keep branding him. But Zohran Mamdani is actually a communist. And by the way, the things he talks about, the politician who might wind up being the next mayor in New York, are full on communism. He wants to buy up land and property through, the city of New York. Even if people don't want to sell it to him, he wants to force them to do it. And then he wants to turn that into communal housing for other people. That's one of many crazy things he said that essentially means, hey, I want to be a communist and I want to run a communist city inside the United States. I want to take over production. I want to have my own grocery stores. I want to do crazy stuff. Here's the back and forth on CNN.
But calling him a communist is not far off base when he talks about seizing the means of production. That is a communist party plank. He Correct. Is talking about doing that. So I don't have any problem with calling him what he is.
And I don't have any problem calling Donald Trump a felon or charged with rape.
or the fact that he doesn't pay his vendors, or the fact that he's racist because he got he illegally
discriminated against. He was
so I don't have any problem. And you're right. And
as
you know
all
what?
Of
you
those
may
things.
Have a Democratic socialist elected as mayor of New York City.
No, you agree with Pete that he is a communist then?
He's not a communist.
He's a socialist.
He said sees the means of production.
He's a socialist.
He is not a communist.
I'm not a socialist, he's literally, but he calls
he's
himself.
He's using the language of the Bolsheviks, is he not?
No, he's not. He's all a socialist, right. Not a communist.
Yeah, he is. He's using the language of the Bolsheviks for sure. He's using a whole lot of language, I would say, a little bit differently. I would change the words to that, and something I'm not allowed to say on radio that sounds like Bolsheviks. It just is different. All right. What I think is great about this, though, and the other talking head who said that, of course, he's a communist before the Democrats got all mad, is the idea that an individual could blaze a trail in a place like New York or anywhere else, and that it's going to convince a lot of other Democrats that that's a winning narrative, a winning message anywhere else. And the fact that you immediately flip it to Trump. If you feel like you're losing a conversation on the left, you immediately have to somehow focus on Trump. And Trump, by the way, his felony cases are ridiculous. They are insane. Almost any legal expert going into those cases in New York said there's no way you turn misdemeanors into felonies. But I digress. Who cares? That's what they want to go with. That's how they want to talk. It's very easy to then, by those standards, call the crazy dude out of New York a communist. They just don't want to say it. But it is insane. And it's terrifying a little bit. If I'm going to hang on this topic for one more second before moving on to something else, or I guess one more minute, if that's how long it's going to be. It's uniquely something that I'm afraid of, that more and more young people will be attracted to a narrative that is absolutely communism by any stretch of the imagination. It's just referred to as something else. Democratic socialism is all this is, even if you want to do all the things that inherently, you know, a byproduct of communism. And that people would be like, why don't we do that? Why don't we live that? I don't think that the United States as a whole would ever stop being a constitutional republic. I just think that those winning messages, at least in places as crazy as New York City, are the most dangerous thing going on in our political world right now, more dangerous than anything else. Any version of Trump was mean to this politician pales in comparison to people who are propping up ideas that get closer and closer to us being a, you know, communist society, a society in which a whole bunch of people will definitely not thrive, because anywhere in the world where communism exists, guess what also exists? Incredible amounts of poverty and a whole bunch of elite politicians like we have already in our country who take all the money and who keep all the money and who own all of industry. And that's, I don't know, bad? Bad is what I would go with here. All right. Another thing that I thought was interesting as far as just shifting gears, Democrats aged 18 to 49 were asked, who do you sympathize with more, Israel or Palestine? And they are actually comparing this on CNN, this data point from 2017 and today, and how likely you are as a young person to say that you side with the Palestinians or effectively side with the terrorist group Hamas in that ongoing conflict. This is kind of what I'm getting at when I talk about the other stuff and how young people specifically can be manipulated by narratives on social media and elsewhere to believe certain things with limited understandings of the discussions and the topics that they're, you know, now strongly opinionated on. But this is a pretty scary stat to go from 2017 to 2025 and have such a wide shift in the amount of people who said they would have been supportive of Israeli positions that are now supportive of, again, Hamas positions. You can call it Palestine if you want, but truly this is Hamas, the terrorist organization that runs, you know, the Palestinian Strip that is hopefully in a very soon in a peace agreement with Israel. But here we go.
Andrew Cuomo during the primary attacked Mamdani as being insufficiently pro-Israel. I'm not quite sure the former governor understood how much the politics have changed around this issue among Democrats. What are we talking about here? All right. Who Democrats sympathize more with? Israelis or Palestinians? In 2017, the Democratic Party was a pro-Israeli party. Look at this. They sympathized with the Israelis by 13 points, more with the Israelis than the Palestinians. But look at this sea change. Now Democrats sympathize more with the Palestinians by 43 points. Oh, my God. That is a change in the margin of 56 points
it's
over
insane.
The course of just 8 years. So all of a sudden, it's the pro-Palestinian position that actually reigns supreme in democratic politics, not the Israeli position. And that is part of the reason why Mamdani was able to do so well in this primary, because those attacks over Israel, simply put, did not ring true for Democrats. They're now on the side of the Palestinians, not the Israelis.
I mean,
and it gets even further again if they dive deeper into it. When you go 18 to 49, it goes from 14% pro-Israel to 57 points pro-Palestine. And this again is crazy. This is radicalizing of a party intentionally through very specific, very controlled narratives that get you to believe things that simply you don't understand, that are far more complex than you want them to be. And Democrats are succeeding at some of the things they're doing here. That's why you then have Joy Reid going out there and saying that people are arresting brown and black people because they don't like brown and black people, not because the people who are here illegally aren't allowed to stay in our country. And they're not just brown and black. There are white people getting arrested, too, from countries that have white people in them that aren't allowed to be here. But I digress. That's not a winning message. So they go to something else. They claim something else and they assume that you're going to, you know, nod your head and say, all right, I'm the good guy because I want to vote for the Democrats, not the bad guy who wants this horrible stuff to happen in our society. But this is crazy. And again, it's just one example of something that continues to happen and continues to be a genuine problem, I think, moving forward with us having honest debate about anything. Tucker Carlson is famous for saying that the person who conjures more facts doesn't actually win an argument in today's society or in society just a few years ago. He said that he had tried it several times in his career and it didn't make him more successful and it didn't make the people he was arguing with agree with him, even though he was capable of using facts to prove his point, because that's where we're at now. Facts don't matter. Other things do. All right, quick break. A lot coming up. This is Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
Think about the last movie that you saw that inspired you and kept you thinking long after the credits rolled. Movies have the power to change individuals, communities, and culture. And that's why I'm telling you about Angel Studios. This is the studio that had the courage to bring the world the sound of freedom. So how can you be part of it? Well, you can join the Angel Guild. King of Kings, an animated story about the life of Jesus, is now streaming on the Angel app. And when you watch King of Kings, it's going to move you. It's beautiful, it's powerful, and it's unlike anything else that's out there. It opened first on April 11th and broke records and earned an A+ cinema score. So as a premium guild member, you can watch King of Kings and access fan-curated films and receive 2 free tickets to every theatrical release. And the best part is that you are part of deciding what stories get told next. Experience the power of King of Kings, a film that's moving hearts and inspiring faith. Visit angel.com/Dana to watch now and be part of this life-changing movement by becoming a guild member. That's angel.com/Dana.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
That's right. This is The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins filling in, and it is time for a quick five, topics we're going to do in rapid succession. The royal train is being retired. King Charles says that he wants to retire the iconic, quote, palace on wheels, something that was beloved by Queen Elizabeth because it cost too much money in 2025 to have a ridiculous train that is a palace on wheels. And there's easier ways to get around. You can fly anywhere you want if you're the king. So, yes, he's going to be doing that. And some people, I'm not sure, many people, I don't even know how many people in the United States even care about this, but I found it entertaining for sure. Will not miss it at all, mostly because we weren't allowed to ride on it. Maybe they should turn the palace on wheels into a thing that the commoner can ride around in throughout Europe, and then maybe it would make money instead of lose tremendous amounts of it. I doubt it, but who knows? Another story out there that we'll do rapid fire. Can cheese turn your dreams into nightmares? The answer is sort of. Your gut actually plays a bigger role in your dreams than just a specific food you eat. But if you have an unhappy gut, specifically if you have things like lactose intolerances that you deal with, you're more likely to have nightmares, according to the internet and a psychological study, which just seems unfair. If you're already struggling in the world of eating certain foods and having certain bathroom issues, then going to sleep and having, you know, Freddy Krueger and his friends torment you, that just seems like kicking you when you're down, if I'm being honest. At least that's the way I feel about it. But it is true, apparently. So get your gut right, and then you won't have that horrible nightmare of falling and then waking up before you hit the pavement. I'm assuming. I don't know. Waffle houses are dropping their egg surcharge. This was actually a viral story a bunch of places. Waffle houses have been charging an extra 50 cents for eggs. This has been happening since February. And they put up on social media that they're sorry and that it's over. It's actually excellent news, according to them. I like and hate a good pun. That was a little bit of both. But yeah, apparently, this is something that a whole lot of people are excited about because you're paying 50 less cents when you go to the Waffle House, witness a fight you didn't expect to see, and then also enjoy some breakfast. Honestly, living in Texas now, in Houston, Waffle House after 10 o'clock is a different experience than before 10 p.m. If you go in at night for the 24-hour Waffle House, you're going to see some things, things you'll probably never unsee. All right, another story out there that I thought was interesting. A judge has okayed the sale of 23andMe. More important than the website itself or the service itself is the trove of DNA data that the company owns. Who did they sell it to? A nonprofit led by its founder that is very much intent on selling all of the data in ways different than 23andMe told you they'd ever sell the data. Shocking. This seems crazy. But the highest bidder of the genetic information company was, in fact, the dude who started the company, who has close ties to pharmaceutical industries. So, yes, the thing that you thought was going to happen when you purchased your online DNA test and then sent your DNA to a company is now happening more so than it probably was happening the whole time. But now they're not even pretending it's not happening. They're selling your data, and then that data is going to wind up other places. I'm glad I never did 23andMe. I was tempted. It sounded like learning more about myself and, you know, the history of my family was the kind of thing that I wouldn't get without doing a DNA test. But it just felt weird to send that off to a unknown organization. So I never did it, even when it was like cheap online and it was discounted on things like Amazon Prime Day. And again, I'm proud of myself, and hopefully you're proud of yourself, too, if you resisted. Quick break, a lot more. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
And our partners that help bring you the program. It's our friends over at Superbeats, the Superbeats folks with the Super Barine product. Now, you know Superbeats, it's all about heart health and blood. It's all about heart health, all of that stuff, healthy blood sugar or healthy blood support, blood pressure support. The Super Barine from the same makers is about metabolism and blood sugar support, and it's for less than a dollar a day when you get it at Sam's Club, which they have it. They have the Super Barine and the Super Beats Heart Chews at Sam's Club. Now, it's a plant-based, doctor-formulated product. It has a unique form of berberine and Italian olive fruit extract, so you have additional antioxidant and cardiovascular support, and the berberine has been clinically studied, and it delivers 10 times higher absorption than standard berberine. So it's not regular old average everyday berberine. They went above and beyond for their ingredients, unlike the people who try to compete with them. Fewer pills to swallow as well. So it's higher absorption, meaning you're getting metabolism and healthy blood sugar support benefits in one highly concentrated, easy-to-swallow capsule that you take once a day. And no GI distress, because Super Barine includes grapeseed extract for greater tolerability. You can find both these Super Beats Heart Chews and Super Barine at Sam's Club. Expand your routine with Super Barine for healthy metabolism and blood sugar support. And you can start today to get on the road to better cardiovascular health support.
The Dana Show Podcast, your fast, funny, and informative news companion for those always on the move. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins, filling in. Thrilled to be with you. A whole bunch of stuff to talk about. Penn Athletics has decided to go ahead and rescind a whole bunch of the awards that a man won while swimming for a female swim team. This is something that's caused a lot of people to be very happy. Paula Scanlon, one of those individuals who was on the women's swim team at University of Pennsylvania, spoke at the White House about how great this is for her and for a lot of other people, and how it restores a competitive fairness to women's athletics to not have people who are guys biologically defeat women that literally cannot biologically compete against them. That seemed to be bad. It took a while for us to get here, but we finally got here as a society.
Wow. That's the first thing I have to say about this. How many years of progress this is just fixing? There's so many women I'm looking at in this room that have fought so hard for so many years on this issue, and I'm grateful to be alongside many of you today. But more than anything, I am grateful for this administration for taking this so seriously. I have quite literally gotten exactly what they voted for. And so I can't start before I
yeah! People start applauding, going crazy. She says she quite literally got exactly what she wanted when she punched the ticket for the certain individual that she punched it for when she voted Trump. That is great. It's great news. Honestly, it's great news for anybody who's a parent of a kid, a girl that was competing in sports that was worried that at some point they were going to be unfair to her. It is insane. And I'll just say this quickly because I don't want to belabor a point that you've probably heard a whole lot about in a whole lot of different ways by people other than myself. But it is insane that the left and how woke they are and how crazy they are about so many things essentially allowed for women's sports to be somewhat destroyed, if not entirely destroyed, by individuals that were not, in fact, women that competed against women in these sports. That seemed to be the kind of thing the left would be up in arms about if they didn't have some sort of excuse to be on the wrong side of that issue. But it's finally changing, at least for now. You hope for good. And again, I want to be completely clear. And if you think that my compassion is weakness, that's fine. I don't care if that's how you interpret it. I would like people that feel as though they're not men to compete in some kind of sport in school. Certainly, I want these to be adults before they biologically do anything to change themselves. But I don't want it to be in women's sports. I think there could be some other version of competition that allowed men, women, and whoever else thinks they're a part of, you know, society to compete. Because I do like the idea of everyone being able to participate in sports if they're talented enough at any level, not at just the highest levels, professional or college or whatnot, but at any level. So I'm not trying to say that if you're someone that fits into one of these categories that's not allowed to compete in female sports anymore, that you're not allowed to compete in sports at all. Ideally, you'd probably compete in male athletics if you're biologically a male. But I also would be fine with competing in something other than female athletics, even if a lot of people weren't in it and if we didn't even really pay attention to it. But if there was some other sort of division that people were allowed to compete in, that's fine. You know, and I know that it's something that some people say, like, it's weak or you're appeasing society or whatnot. No, I honestly think that it's the exact opposite of that. Personally, I think it's demonstrating that I actually care about protecting female athletics. And beyond that, you do you, especially if you're an adult human. And again, I just imagine it will be completely not popular as far as the sport goes if it's two or three total people that are competing in some sort of athletic competition throughout the entire country. Because I don't know that you'd have a massive amount of individuals that would flood into this, whatever you call it, league thing. All right, other stuff out there. This is interesting. Outnumbered reacted to this story by saying how much several members of that television show, that television news program, like this. Tennessee law is going to allow courts to suspend or delay a minor's driver's license, for up to a year if they're found guilty of bullying and or cyberbullying. Again, I'm kind of surprised that Fox News and some of their pundits were such big fans of this, because it does feel like the government should probably not be this involved in what they deem to be online versions of bullying. And yet there is sort of a well-intentioned aspect of thinking that, and I really think the parents could be the ones doing this, penalizing your kid by not letting them drive a vehicle or have a driver's license because they're being a jerk to other people online, or worse than that. But here's a little bit of how Outnumbered talked about this topic.
You are a big fan of this.
I am a fan of this because we've done so many stories where it leads to suicide. Bullying can lead to suicide. And this includes cyberbullying. And I'm sure they'd have to prove it goes to the extreme, because we all like freedom of speech. But yet, if it's harassing someone, if it's putting someone at risk and their life in danger, then I'm all in favor of this. I think it holds people accountable. And these teenagers need to know, you can't do this. You're going to lose your privilege to drive. And that's a big deal for teenagers.
Yeah, it is.
You know, and actually, I'll pause it right there for just a second. And I'm going to react to the thing she said of substance, but it's actually not. I know a lot of teen kids now. That's a weird way to say that. I know a lot of parents of teenage kids now who say that their kid doesn't care about driving, that it's very different than my generation or generations before me. I'm an older millennial, close to the Gen X generation. People desperately wanted a driver's license for my childhood and the childhoods of my parents, my grandparents, everyone I know. But younger people today care more about being on social media platforms or, you know, hanging out late at night, playing video games in their room. I'm not saying that all of them don't care about a driver's license, but for some reason, a lot of them don't. But the overarching problem here remains the same. The idea, again, that government officials can start to moderate your social media posts and determine at what point they become something that they don't like and then refer to that as bullying or cyberbullying or whatever else. Now, granted, Tennessee is less likely to go as rogue as, say, New York would or California on this issue. But there are reasons to dislike it. Here's a little bit more on Fox from Outnumbered talking about it.
It's a hidden point in their lives.
For New Yorkers, we take a taxi.
Well, in Jersey, we just drive fast. Some of us, not everybody. Paul?
So, no, I don't drive fast. I don't even own a car. I need a couple of things to tease out here. First of all, the law exists already. This is just an added penalty, and you have to be of driving age, right? But they actually have this for younger ages as well who can't drive yet. So the metric becomes what happens when, by the way, Tennessee doesn't have a minimum age for criminal responsibility. So if you're 12 years old, you're getting charged with an A misdemeanor. That could be life changing.
Wow.
I just hope that it's applied with, you know, judiciously.
Right.
Also, here's another way I hope it's applied. This is a red state past this, Tennessee. So more power to them because I agree, Ainsley. This is the kind of thing that's long overdue considering the impact of bullying. What happens if we get teachers bullying students, let's say, on trans issues and things like that? Because that is bullying. We've seen all kinds of cases like that. I bet you we get a case where the parents say, my kid's being bullied into a curriculum he or she doesn't want. Now, we've had that big SCOTUS decision. It'll take a while for that thing to devolve down. So this thing is going to have to get used. They're going to have to bang it up a little bit to get it working. But
I do like when anybody says, you got to bang this up. You got to fix it a little bit. You got to enhance it a little more. But I think that's a tremendous question from some of the individuals on Outnumbered, not just the lawyer who's talking there. But the types of things that would potentially be considered bullying and how they'll be handled by the government, because it's a slippery slope. It's a difficult, in general, bridge for people to cross. And you don't want to see the things that you're seeing in places like the UK, where people are being arrested for what they're saying on social media across the board. And a lot of anti-government things winding up being things that people are charged significant crimes with. I'm not saying that's in the intent out of Tennessee. Again, as pointed out, a red state that seems to believe a whole lot in free speech and whatnot. However, it would be the intent of someone else copying this law and doing it somewhat differently, or even some of the people who'd be executing the law in certain parts of any state, even red ones. So again, I'm skeptical and in a lot of ways not exactly thrilled, but still happy at the idea of protecting kids. But it should just be the parents that are doing that. They should be the ones responsible for preventing this behavior in the first place. Unfortunately, a whole lot of them don't, which is why this story exists at all. All right, one last thing I want to play. This is insanely viral, insanely hilarious to me because of how stupid it is. This is a dude with a ridiculous man bun who is crying and upset, and certainly people are making fun of his lack of manliness in this video because he's claiming that the Trump Organization is taking people by cargo plane, deportees or illegal aliens here in this country, and shoving them out a plane in the middle of the ocean and killing them. He's claiming this is happening. This isn't happening. No one is doing this. There's no stories about this. This dude is essentially just making something up and going on the internet, much like a lot of people do, but going viral because of how ridiculous his emotional reaction connects to his completely fabricated story as a dude who seems to really just want some attention and wants to go viral so much that he makes up something completely unbelievable and some morons actually believe him.
I can't believe I just heard this. Did you know this? Trump, he has ordered the illegals to be shackled, flown out over the ocean, and thrown out into the ocean.
That's not true. 100% not true.
How is that possible?
It's not.
Just taking people, just ripping them off the streets, ripping your friends, your neighbors.
That's not happening.
Relatives. He's taking them, putting metal on them like the slaves of the past.
Oh, my God.
Flying them out over the ocean and throwing them out.
He's literally doing the ugly cry as he's saying all this stuff that is not happening, that is not true, that would be horrible if it was actually occurring, but obviously is definitely not occurring, and just weeping about it. This is what annoys me the most about people on the left specifically, at least individuals like this guy. And I'll be honest, I try more often than not to not make fun of the unknown idiot human who exists in the world. I find it more effective to make fun of the politician who's influencing the idiot humans of the world. But this guy is unique in how he is going about life and how he's going about social media and just the crazy stuff he's making up. And I kind of love the beginning of the video when he goes, "Have you heard? I just heard. We don't even know who you heard it from. And it apparently doesn't matter to you. It's now time to cry into the camera as you post something on social media designed to get you attention." Oh, my God. I hate it so much. And honestly, one more time, I'll just say this for the cheap seats in the back. This is the other reason that any version of Democrats claiming that they care about people that are, you know, not white, they care about the black and brown people in society, are absolutely full of crap themselves, because the only reason that they'd like illegal immigration to exist is not that they're more compassionate, but that they want more voters to live here in this country. And they think that they can get that done by having people move in illegally and then trying to get them sort of legal status, or at least being in places where they can somehow vote illegally, which happens a lot of places. But nonetheless, again, that's the whole reason for it. It has nothing to do with one side being more compassionate than the other side. It's who they're likely to vote for and why the door gets swung open or gets closed. And honestly, the thing that would be best for the people themselves would be to come in with legal status once the illegal problem is fixed. And I'll keep saying that too. All right, quick break, a lot more. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
Ben Carson joins Pastor Alan Jackson on Culture and Christianity, Protecting Faith and Family.
There were some failures in our culture from expressions of racism. I mean, those widely documented. But there's abundant evidence that as glaring as some of those weaknesses were, they didn't prevent opportunities. I'm concerned for the younger people today. I think they face challenges that could be even more debilitating.
Hear the full story on Culture and Christianity with Pastor Alan Jackson. Subscribe now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
That's right. It's time for Florida Man on The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins, filling in D-Lash, Dana Lash Radio on X on Twitter to stay connected to all things her. I have a few Florida Man stories. First, a valet in Miami got in trouble because he was doing his thing at a high-rise apartment complex, and someone came up with a real fancy car, and the valet decided, I'm taking this one and going. The guy ran away, drove away in a victim's car outside of the apartment building. Later was apprehended. His name is Augusto Cesar Sandino Troez. He's 23. He is, again, of Miami, Florida himself. That's Grand Theft Auto. That's the kind of thing you don't want to be doing. There's video footage of it. There's the guy himself handing the keys, then glancing at the car and watching it exit and then go its own direction. All this, not a good move. And not worth one joyride, in all honesty. If you want a car this bad for a few hours before you get arrested by the police, just rent one. Rent any, and hopefully not get arrested by the police. Hopefully that's the other caveat to my version of a plan and not this one. Just rent that vehicle. Pay an excess amount of money, especially in a place like Miami, where you're going to be able to find a rental company that has some fancy cars, drive around like a moron, and then live your life outside of jail. That's just my recommendation, not the way this guy wanted to go. Another story, this one's amazing. Not just because of the ridiculousness of it, a beach goer in Florida found 25 kilos of cocaine on a Florida beach. This happened in Walton County. But the fact that all of the kilos of cocaine had a photograph of Yosemite Sam on the front of the packaging of cocaine. I don't know why Yosemite Sam was the logo of choice for this person that's got all these illegal drugs. And why they then decided to leave all the drugs on a beach worth about $500,000 in actual money. The beach goer who found it did turn it all in, chose not to feed any of it to sharks, which was a good decision because I would not want to see cocaine shark become a real thing, especially not in Florida. But there's just ridiculous stuff here. And to be honest, if you didn't live in Florida and you found a bunch of cocaine, and I mean a lot of it, with Yosemite Sam on the front of every package, on a beach somewhere, you'd think it was the most ridiculous thing that had ever happened in the place you live. The only state where you'd be like, yeah, this seems about right, seems to be Florida. But this actually occurred, and it was crazy, and luckily the person turned it over. We hope all of it. We assume all of it. We don't know for sure. We'll see what happens from there. One last story in the world of Florida Man, and I like this one too. A nurse found a bunch of drugs inside a Florida man's butt during a surgery. The guy, for some reason, decided to hide it there. The guy's name is Michael O'Neill. He is 43. He suffered from a stab wound he didn't want to explain to anyone. Went to St. Petersburg's hospital. The injuries required surgery, and while under, people discovered drugs, I think a crack pipe, and a lighter for some reason inside the man's rectum. I don't know why you hide the lighter there, because you could just have that in your pocket, bud. You know, that's not illegal. You can have that one on you. But nonetheless, he was arrested, and here's the craziest part of this story. Not the first time that this individual has been arrested where his hiding place of choice was the backside, and the hiding object of choice was a bunch of drugs. Michael O'Neill also once checked into prison, and while getting patted down, they located a bunch of drugs and paraphernalia, fentanyl and whatnot, in the man's rectum. It seems to be his move. As horrible as it is, that's a Florida man as Florida gets. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show. This is The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins filling in. Thrilled to be with you. A bunch of stuff out there to talk about. There is a new potential ceasefire deal on the table. It would be a 60-day ceasefire between Israel and Gaza, or Hamas. Trump says that Israeli officials have agreed to it. Hamas and Gaza have to actually agree to this thing. But it seems like that might be more likely than not to happen, although we will see. But the, I don't know, pacifist in chief, the peace negotiator in chief, President Trump might have another political win in the international stage of getting peace agreements. And it does feel more and more like anyone who's called for Trump to win a Nobel Peace Prize is getting closer and closer to that being a reality. It'd be hard to nominate somebody else if this deal also winds up happening, with how many things Trump has been able to find a way to negotiate into lack of conflict. Again, that seems important. Shifting gears beyond that into a world of, I guess, bickering, not physical versions of conflict. The GOP is set to have some internal struggle to potentially pass the big, beautiful bill. There are people that are saying the White House will need to sway Freedom Caucus holdouts, individuals who are going to be more focused on the ridiculous price tag of the big, beautiful bill than anything that actually happens in it. Here's what I'll say about this. And we definitely should look to talk to a politician, maybe Chip Roy or somebody, about their feelings on these sort of things, if we can find someone who's available for it tomorrow or something like that. But I'll be honest, you're kind of in a no-win situation. And what I mean by that is, if you defy President Trump and his administration, the likelihood that the Conservative Party will find a way to challenge you in an upcoming election, I think, is quite high. If you rubber stamp the bill without voicing enough concern about it, there is a chance that a lot of people alienate their actual constituents who put them into office to not do this stuff. And then also, Elon Musk has vowed that he's going to try to primary people with his own unique funding who vote yes on this bill on the conservative side of the aisle. So it really sounds as though, standing for or against it, you are likely to have somebody challenge you somewhere. So I imagine the only people who are going to be very vocal and not be people who are just going to go ahead and say yes to this are people who feel that they can win no matter who challenges them. And that even more so makes it make sense that whatever decisions you make, whatever behaviors you choose to go down, they have to be tailored to your specific constituents and the things you believe that they want, so that you can defeat someone in an upcoming election if you get challenged in any way, shape, or form that you do. But that seems to be what the big discussion or the big talking point will be. Will the bill pass? Will it pass easily? Will a whole lot of conservatives just go ahead and rubber stamp this thing, and some of the costs of it that do seem inherently or uniquely bad be things that we look the other way on? I do believe something unique about this, though, although I don't know how unique this truly is, because people are all over the place and how much they claim this could be a difference maker. But tariffs are what President Trump, in multiple interviews before winning the office, they are what he'd like to be the main revenue generator for the United States government. He doesn't want it to be taxes. He wants all the steep, steep tax cuts, and even more than these tax cuts, to exist within this big, beautiful bill. He actually has said in multiple interviews, at least he did, leading up to the election, that he'd love to see no federal tax exist at all for all Americans. It would just go away, And how would that work, some asked, the way it used to work before we did a lot of that crazy taxing that we do now. And that was via tariffs. We used to charge a whole lot more money to import stuff from other countries. And if you are trying to revitalize the, you know, industrial industry of the United States, the best way to do that would be to incentivize production of items that are then sold here in this country and, you know, harm or disincentivize people from getting stuff other places and making it, you know, cost prohibitive for us to buy those things from those other places. That wouldn't be uniquely bad if the end goal is really just enhancing the, you know, opportunities that exist here within this country for the production of products and whatnot for U.S. citizens. We have the means. We have companies with enough capability to build these facilities, open these places, and start doing this stuff. Would they really do it? I don't know. And would we want to truly limit ourselves to that degree? Of course, a lot of people would say no, but I just find it interesting that at the end of all of this, the caveat that might eventually make that cost way less than what some are yelling it is designed to be is how significant tariffs play a part in our both immediate and long-term future as a country. Because I think if President Trump gets his way, they'll be enhanced even beyond what they actually are without it harming us because of what we have and what we're creating here. But I digress. I move on from that because I do think that's the lost aspect of the topic, is that a lot of people, they just dismiss the reality of that potentially being something that occurs over the next few years. That can't happen. We're not going to do that. Even if it's automated, to be honest, and this is the part that I probably also shouldn't articulate. Who knows? I don't care. I'm filling in on a very fancy, very influential radio show. I'm going to give you my real opinions on anything and everything, including this one. I think the likelihood in the next few years for a whole lot of these warehouses and things that might be developed in the United States to just be AI run, to have robots just doing all the production elements of it, is through the roof that that's likely to be what happens. I don't think that these jobs that could be created are truly going to be long-term jobs, sadly, but I think that's going to be true of the rest of the world too. I think the odds are that human beings are working in warehouses making things for us 10, 15, 20 years from now is almost non-existent regardless of where they're being created. So putting down that anchor here in this country now so that you have those facilities to flip into facilities that are mostly, you know, robots anyway, sounds like the kind of thing that we should be doing, as controversial or ridiculous as that opinion might sound to other people. But I truly believe that even those, you know, facilities in China, will not have a whole lot of sweatshop-esque human beings working in them in the very near future, if not already existing in some places, because of how quickly AI and all kinds of, you know, robotic technology is advancing. This is the type of job that would go away first. So creating them now isn't really creating them in the long term, but darn it, again, that's a challenge I think a whole lot of us face together. All right, I will move on from that, as ridiculous to some of a point as that might be. President Trump has warned Japan, who he thinks is being kind of greedy, at least that's my word for it here, they may not get the U.S. trade deal they want because they're spoiled. That's another word that Trump actually did use to describe Japan. We've dealt with Japan. I'm not sure if we're going to make a deal. I doubt it with Japan, he said. They and others are so spoiled from having ripped us off for 30, 40 years that it's really hard for them to make a deal. I believe that this is true. July 9th will be the end of the 90-day pause on reciprocal tariffs that Trump instilled on a lot of places, Japan certainly among them. So we'll see how that goes. But I do think there's a lot of countries that simply refuse to make a fair deal with the United States because they've come to expect anything other than a fair deal. And they're frustrated that the person in charge in the White House right now really, really wants fair deals. And he wants them bad enough that he's willing to let some things be short-term pain for long-term success, which I think many Americans so far have been more on board with than people assumed they were going to be. That's the other thing I love about talking about this topic or this story in general, is Americans seem somewhat resilient to letting some of this occur, mostly because every time they tell us tariffs are going to ruin our economy, they don't actually ruin our economy. And now, granted, if we rolled out a whole lot more of them, I can see short-term pain being a reality. So can Trump. He's talked about it quite a bit. But long-term, where is the win? There might be a significant one. And that's always the part that's lost on the people who want you to have the extreme opinion now, is they either underplay or overplay the significance of something happening down the road. Actually, there is a a inverse example of this, all the discussions about U.S. aid right now going on. Probably chief among them was the crazy thing that Chuck Schumer said. Chuck Schumer, yesterday, complaining about how U.S. aid or USAID was essentially defunded by DOGE and the Trump administration. This is just the beginning, that he sees a whole lot of other things potentially losing funding or saving Americans dollars by going away. And he lists some of them, and most people are on board with all these things. Chuck tried to say this in a way where he was telling you how bad things could get. And a whole lot of individuals, as I said, over social media are like, we accept these terms. We're thrilled by these terms. Can this happen now?
We also know this is just the beginning. If DOGE attacks USAID today, then you can be sure they'll move on to another target tomorrow. Who knows?
Oh, no.
Maybe it'll be the Postal Service,
awesome,
or the IRS, or even the Social Security Administration. They could be next. Or maybe our national security agencies.
Yeah, maybe our intelligence agencies might actually be hit with some sort of changes because they're deeply bureaucratic and far left leaning and not anything that's really helping us in society and much more driven by politics than they're supposed to be. Yeah, it'd be terrible. Let's get rid of all this stuff. IRS number one among them, by the way. If you want to take a war on something, you know, to the next level for most Americans on both sides of the political aisle, you go after that IRS baby and you do everything you can to stop them from doing the horrible things that they do. That sounds amazing. We accept these terms, Mr. Schumer, and we should pretend that we're upset about them, but we can't hide our happiness. We can't hide our excitement if what you said becomes a reality. All right, I'll take a break. A lot coming up. This is Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
That's right. It's time for a Quick Five on The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins filling in. Thrilled to be with you. This is hilarious. A woman on social media, specifically on some dating sites, asked for the best Tim Allen home improvement grunts from guys that wanted to go on a date with her. She said this was actually better than asking people to do some sort of pickup line or hit on her or even go out on dates with them. She just wants a whole bunch of people to grunt, Tim Allen style, in messages to her. And she's going to pick the one to do it best on social media. Here's a little bit of audio of dudes that took her up on this challenge. And there's some reasons why. One of the biggest reasons, according to a lot of the guys that seem to have been willing to send her the grunting audio, is that they're rather attracted to her well-endowed top half of her body. I think that's an interesting way to say that. She's big-chested, and they seem to be a fan of that. Here we go. That's not a good one.
That's terrible.
Yeah, that was terrible. Those last guy and a guy in the middle were definitely not very good at this at all. But a whole bunch of people just grunted at the woman and hoped that it gets them a date with her. And she went viral for, well, two very specific reasons. But nonetheless, whether this actually works, whether any of these dates go well, all that is yet to be determined. I have no idea if it'll occur, and I probably don't care anymore. This is probably the extent of the story for me. But you get it as part of the top five, and that's all that matters. Are you bored with where you live? If you are, there's a bunch of cities throughout the country that would love to pay you to move there. West Virginia, in fact, as a state, has a whole bunch of places they'd love for you to move. They're going to incentivize you with a $12,000 package. This includes some outdoor recreational things, some free use of a co-working space, et cetera, et cetera. You got to move to some of the specific areas listed: New River George, Greenbrier Valley, Morgantown, Eastern Panhandle, et cetera. But if you do that, you're going to get a bunch of incentives to the value of $12,000. Tulsa, Oklahoma wants to give you 10 grand. This is after you purchase a qualifying home, and they'll also give you a 3-year membership to co-working spaces. I don't know what deal co-working companies made with state officials that seems to be a byproduct of a whole lot of these options, but most places that want to pay you to move there also give you some free time to run your side hustle in some sort of co-working building. Another place, Topeka, Kansas, wants to give you $10,000. This is in rent for your first year if you move there, as long as you have up to $15,000 spent in actually eventually buying a new home as well. Or that, excuse me, would be put toward buying a new home, $5,000 more than rent. But you got to move there and you got to qualify again. Baltimore, Maryland will only give you $5,000. This is down payment assistance. And this is if you win the housing lottery that goes with also being willing to move there. You're not guaranteed to get the $5,000, and you'd also live in Baltimore, Maryland, which sounds awful across the board. This one I thought was interesting. Ketchikan, Alaska is offering you $2,000, no strings. You get $2,000 if you move there. You also get, and this is hilarious, 3 months of free internet. It feels like the kind of advertisement you'd see on the side of an apartment building in a college town, but it's a real place. 8,000 people live there. And if you want to move to Ketchikan, Alaska, they're going to hand you $2,000 when you walk in the door and set up your internet for free for the next 3 months. Finally, Newton, Iowa made this list of places that are that's giving you money. $10,000 in cash. You got to buy a home worth $240,000 to get the $10,000 break. But you do that, and there you go, incentivized to move there. No word on if anyone is actually taking people up on these offers, but I imagine somebody somewhere will. Finally, there is a list, a crazy list, from Talker Magazine, Talker.com, about the ways that you can throw off your morning. It was a poll they did that people, you know, randomly answered. Most of them kind of make sense as far as things that you might accidentally do, say skipping your cup of coffee, not having enough water, maybe even skipping a morning workout if that's the time of day when you like working out. These can all throw you off. But two things on this list seem uniquely bad if you get in the habit of missing these things. One was forgetting to brush your teeth. I can't imagine how many people walk out of the house often being like, oh man, I forgot to brush my teeth, that have a successful life. I feel like a lot of bad things happen in the world if you forget that basic hygiene step. And then also people who are not showering. Whether you're not showering the night before, when you wake up, whatever it is, you're just not clean and your teeth aren't clean, and that might throw off your day. Of course it would. I feel like that didn't need to be on the survey. Quick break, a lot more. We're going to talk to a lawyer about the P. Diddy case in a bit. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
Make some common sense of the crazy headlines with The Dana Show podcast, your on-the-go guide for getting up to speed on today's most important stories. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or your favorite podcast platform.
This is The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins filling in. Thrilled to be with you. A bunch of stuff to talk about. D-Lash, Dana Lash Radio on X on Twitter to stay connected to all things that she's doing. A friend of mine, Legal Face-Off co-host Rich Lenkov, professional lawyer as well, of course, is on the show to talk about the P. Diddy stuff. And Rich, to start, I actually want to play some Dave Chappelle audio from a monologue he did on SNL earlier this year, talking about how much potential trouble Diddy would have been in had he been found guilty of all the things he was charged with. We'll get into breaking down the legal aspects of the case, but I just, as a refresher, want to remind everybody, and Dave Chappelle's the best at delivering this, of how serious a lot of these charges actually were.
I've been in trouble in my day. Well, I've been in a lot of trouble in my day, but man, let me tell you something. This guy, Puffy, buddy, this guy is in an enormous amount of trouble.
Yes, he is.
I don't think I've ever seen anything like this. Got this guy in a RICO case by himself.
That is accurate, I believe. Rich Lenkov, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good. Naturally, you would start with Dave Chappelle for any legal analysis. I like it.
Yeah, of course. Both he and you are two of the most important minds in the world of legal things going on, at least media-wise, in the world we live in. Rich Lenkov of Legal Face-Off, as I said. P. Diddy celebrated in the courtroom when he was found to be not guilty of some of the most serious charges he was facing. However, he was not found to be innocent of all crimes he was facing. What happened? Can you tell us first what actually occurred in the courtroom?
Well, it's a massive win for Diddy. It really is. The jury did not believe that the prosecutors proved the real heart of the case, which is the trafficking and RICO aspects. They found him not guilty on three of those charges. They found him guilty on two of the charges, which were far less serious. They were violations of the Mann Act. The Mann Act is a 1910 law that is meant to make it a crime to transport someone across state lines for illegal sexual activity. So they found that he was guilty of basically flying people around the country to engage in consensual sex. That's the really important part. That's a real win for him because, like I said, those are far less serious violations of the law and they carry way smaller penalties than the others.
Yeah. Let me start there. And then I want to ask you why you think this happened the way it did, which is always hard to do to figure out what was in the mind of the jury. But as far as the cases and the things that he was found guilty of, I've read that it's 10 years in prison per charge. And there's two, quote unquote, prostitution, transportation charges that he was found guilty of. So maximum sentencing is 20 years. I doubt he's likely to get 20 years in prison. What do you say to that aspect of it, what he was actually found guilty of and how much prison time you think he might actually serve?
Yeah, like you said, the Mann Act violations are 10 years maximum per count. So two counts equals 20 years. That's the maximum. The judges, especially at the federal level, have great discretion as to, you know, the different factors. The judge will look in this case, for example, that he already spent 9 months in jail, that how he acted in jail, you know, the fact that he's so famous means that it's unlikely that he could really go anywhere in the world and not be recognized. So those are factors the judge will look at in terms of setting bond and also charging him up to those 20 years. The prosecutors have already asked for those to be consecutive, which means they are served one after the other for a total of 20. It's unlikely. It's very rare that that happens. It's more likely that they'll be served concurrently, which means at the same time. I think you're right. He won't serve anything close to 20. I think more likely he'll spend some time in jail, probably a couple of years, but nowhere near the maximum.
Yeah. Why do you think he was not guilty of the more serious charges? If you were closely paying attention to this case, which I think you were, and I know this is always hard. I know whenever we talk about it, getting your head into the minds of any specific jury is almost impossible. But what do you think were the big reasons that the prosecution failed to prove its case?
Well, keeping in mind that this particular prosecutor's office in Southern District of New York has something like a 98% success rate. So they usually know what they're doing. In this case, however, I think they overcharged him. I think going after him for a RICO violation, which, as you know, is a federal racketeering charge where you're engaged in a racketeering conspiracy, that's very hard to prove, especially as you mentioned, or as Dave Chappelle mentioned, that it's one person, right? There wasn't a group to form a conspiracy. It makes sense that if you're conspiring with people, then, you know, that might lend itself to a RICO charge. An individual, it's very hard, I think, for a jury to get their head around a RICO violation, especially when it's one person. Look, it's hard for most lawyers to understand RICO. I think that was number one. The second thing is, I think the defense did a great job in showing through Craig the mere volume of texts and emails that this was consensual. No matter how much you might find it disdainful, no matter how much you think it's disgusting that P. Diddy, you know, engaged in domestic battery, which they admitted he did, but he wasn't charged with that. The fact is, there was text from the alleged victim saying that they were excited for freak offs, that they were willing participants, that they loved Diddy. I think that's all really easy to understand and hard to prove that these people were unwilling participants.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, obviously, some people would probably say that they were saying one thing but felt a different way when you're dealing with the famous person. I guess the other thing I would ask in all this, obviously, the brand, Sean Diddy Combs, has been destroyed forever. I think there's not a lot of likelihood that he's going to do a sellout concert anytime in the near future, even after serving some time in jail. Is that more significant to people at this level of fame? It sounds like it might be insane to ask the question this way, Rich, but I do mean it because Diddy was about as famous as they get in the music industry. Is that a more significant long-term harm than spending 3 years in jail?
Great question. I don't know. I mean, I think that the days of being canceled, you know, they might be over. We see lots of people reemerging. I mean, Louis C.K. is touring again. He was canceled. Jeremy Piven, you know, was canceled. He's on a run. He was just in Chicago performing, you know, this summer. Again, I'm speaking of a lot of Illinois where I am. Chris Brown is headlining at Wrigley Field, sold out shows. You know, Chris Brown was convicted of domestic battery, or at least accused of domestic battery. He was canceled. So, you know, I think you're right. This has definitely an impact on his brand, whether it's, you know, full cancellation forever. I think I don't know. I don't know if that's the case, especially given, you know, that he was convicted of basically engaging in consensual sex.
Yeah, no, that's fair. And I do. I don't believe in cancel culture in general. I wonder if anyone were to test what you just said to be true. You know, is cancel culture officially dead? It feels like it's got to be P. Diddy and the entirety of this whole case, because from jump, a whole lot of the general public has found him to be incredibly guilty of all of these things, regardless of what the jury inevitably decided. And I don't know how much that actual decision in a courtroom changes the public opinion all that much. P. Diddy has been a name you don't really say in a lot of places with any sort of positive reaction right now on a day-to-day human experience level. And that's kind of really what I'm getting at.
But what if, don't forget, what if Trump pardons him? Trump was asked this question at the end of May, and he said, I haven't talked to him in a long time, but like everything else, he said, well, look into it. So he hasn't ruled out the idea that he would pardon Diddy on these two counts that he was found guilty of. Maybe that, if that happens, I certainly think that has an impact on his brand, and it's far less harmful, right? I mean, he would be seen as a victim of overcharging by zealous prosecutors.
Sure. No, you're right, actually. You're right. The more this narrative could change with P. Diddy being found innocent and turn into a narrative much like people like Johnny Depp, the more you might wind up being attracted to supporting him because what you think you're standing against that goes way beyond Diddy. Now, I mentioned before at the start of this that you have a podcast. I think it's a biweekly show. It's called Legal Face Off. You do it at a WGN Radio and the WGN Radio Podcast Network. And you love to talk about both the serious and the silly and the world of legal stuff. I imagine P. Diddy's a certain conversation on that show. But can you give me an example of one of the sillier things you guys talked about recently on Legal Face Off?
Well, you know, we just covered this past episode. We happened to have a lot of stories about judges yelling at litigants for the way they acted in court. I'm sure you've seen some of these stories. One guy showed up to court, by the way, on a felony charge, wearing a World's Best Farter T-shirt. He tried to convince the judge, Craig, that it said father, not farter.
Yeah, it did.
We had another woman who sued because a coworker put a Chucky doll, Chucky from Child's Play, in her office, and she claimed PTSD. And then we covered the John Kreese from the Cobra Kai biting his coworker. Lots of stories like that. Important stuff.
Can you tell me or the audience at large just how bad of an idea it is to troll the judge when you show up in a courtroom with a guy that says, you know, world's best farter shirt or something like it? How much worse this outcome is for you if you don't take showing up in court seriously?
You know, I'm in court a lot. I'm in federal court. I'm scared if my tie isn't completely, you know, perfect, let alone wearing a world's best farter. There's another woman who was making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich on Zoom with a judge. I mean, come on, just, you know, have some sense.
Yeah, fair enough. Rich Lenkov, if you check him out on social media, you'll notice that he's a bit of a fashionista himself. So I'm not surprised that the tie is never anything other than straight, bud. But thank you for jumping on. Thank you for giving us more information and parsing out the P. Diddy stuff. A Legal Face Off. You can find it anywhere that you get your podcasts. Thanks one more time. Look forward to talking again soon, bud.
Always great to be on. Thanks so much.
Yep. All right. Quick break. A lot more. This is Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
Brighten up your timely news consumption with a Dana Show podcast, where every update comes with a little dash of not so serious on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins filling in. Thrilled to be with you. A bunch of stuff out there to talk about. So little time to talk about anything else on this show. A guy was pulled over for a DUI driving erratically in California. He blew three times the legal limit, so the guy was very intoxicated. But here's the other crazy part about this story. He had 72 empty Bud Light cans inside of his car. You get pulled over, you get arrested, you get in trouble, and the cops take a picture of all the empty beer cans and beer boxes that were sitting inside your vehicle on the side of the road, and that goes viral. This dude, absolutely a danger to a bunch of people. Drunk driving is not funny. I'm not going to make fun of that part per se. This guy is a uniquely bad actor in that world, though, and there's probably something that people are finding as dark humor in the viralness of this ridiculous story. But I'm just thrilled that cops do jobs like this. In all honesty, when we fail to thank law enforcement for the important work that they do every day, you have to realize that there's some idiot, some horrible person, more so than an idiot, I guess, because of the amount of people you're putting in danger driving like this, that is doing this, that's driving around at a .25 with 72 empty cans of beer inside his car that desperately needs to be arrested by police. And if you defund the police, you don't catch people like this doing horrible things like this. But that's a real story that went viral out there in the world. All right. Other stuff, just in time for the holiday. There is a list of some of the most ridiculous brand new names for fireworks out there. I do love when stories like this go viral. They're pretty funny. And honestly, one of the things whenever fireworks are a topic of conversation in news media or radio media, people have to play. I think it's contractually required that we have to play the sound clip of Joe Dirt, David Spade's character in that movie, talking about all the ridiculous names of fireworks. I'll go ahead and play that first, and then I'll tell you some real ones.
So you're going to tell me that you don't have no black cats, no Roman candles or screaming memes? You don't got no lady fingers, fuzz buttles, snicker bombs, church burners, finger blasters, gut busters, zippity doodahs, or crap flappers? You're going to stand there and tell me you don't have no whistling bungholes, no spleen splitters, whisker biscuits, honky lighters, whisker do's, whisker don'ts, cherry bombs, nips and dazers, with or without the scooter stick, or one single whistling kitty chaser?
I don't want to know what a scooter stick actually is in the world of fireworks. But yes, that's a clip. That's not real. But there are a bunch of ridiculous names for fireworks now. Some of my favorite ones from this year, The Wizard of Oz, and this is spelled A-H-H-H-H, because that's what you say when you see the fireworks blow it up. Explode. Neighborhood Hater is another one, or Neighbor Hater is a variation of it. The Popo Magnet, which I guess you'd fire off in areas where fireworks are, in fact, illegal. Cat Scratch Fever is a weird one that's out there. Shimmer Me Timbers is another firework name that is entertaining a lot of people. And finally, probably my favorite one, it's just hashtag light and run. 51 shots fired from this firework case that you should do exactly as it says, light and then run away. One thing I usually mention just in time for the holidays, and we'll be here again tomorrow, so I'll probably talk about this more tomorrow, is the need to be safe when firing fireworks off wherever you are. And the way that I usually talk about this, and I'm sure my little brother to this day hates that this is a story I think about whenever I'm in radio somewhere just before this very important patriotic holiday in our country. But I remember when we were teenagers and my brother wanted to do a fireworks show for my family. So he invited us all to the park that we could walk to down the street from our house, set up fireworks that he claimed were safe. And for some reason, none of us decided to second guess that decision by then, I don't know, maybe 15-year-old brother of mine. And he proceeded to fire all the fireworks directly at us because he had not pointed them up in the air. He had pointed them at the audience that he was trying to entertain. It was horrifically scary. No one was injured. So thank God it was fine. And to this day, it's now something that we laugh more and more about. At the time, however, it was not funny as we were all fired at via fireworks by my little brother. Although I don't know, maybe he did do it on purpose. And to this day, he's keeping that a secret. He was mad about something and doesn't want to tell us. But for that reason, I'm telling everyone, please be tremendously safe this holiday season. You want to keep all your fingers and all your toes, no matter what you're doing, no matter how you're behaving and how you're celebrating the holiday. There's one other piece of audio that I don't know if I'll have enough time to get to. I can try to play it. I did find it funny. I'll just explain it to you. So Green Day is a band that has a lot of political opinions I'm not exactly a fan of. They also love to invite a guest on stage every time they perform. This is typically for that guest to play the guitar during one of their more famous songs, Good Riddance, or Time of Your Life is how people refer to it. This guy got on stage and started playing Oasis's Wonderwall and got booed off stage. So you can make a mistake when the band lets you do your minute of fame. Be sure you're playing a song by that band. Craig Collins filling in. This is The Dana Show.